Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go.
Now, a feature presentation.
Good morning, Vietnam!
Welcome to the Matinee Chat Podcast.
There is a God.
With Kathy Kaiser.
Oh, stewardess, I speak jive.
And Anthony Wise.
Oh, excuse me, Russell, but I believe I requested the hand job.
He's just ignorant.
Stay connected at matineechat.com on Facebook and Twitter at Matinee Chat.
The radio's all yours, Tom.
Matinee Chat Podcast on now.
Oh, it's me. Hi, how's it going? Welcome to the Matinee Chat Podcast. She pointed to me. I was unaware of the pointed situation.
I was trying
again
to give him the intro this
again
week because we're on number 10.
Number 10. The big 10.
Can you believe it?
It's a very exciting time.
It is very exciting.
I can't either. I'm kind of not surprised, but it's been a while.
I know. And what he meant to say was he's so excited that for the last 10 weeks he's got to not only see movies with me but hang out with me. Ah.
Got to meet
awesome,
the family.
Isn't it? There
really
you go.
Great.
It's been really fun and exciting. I've yet to meet anyone in his life, but you know, he's holding out on me here.
That's because they all live in a different city.
Okay. All right. So here we are. Let's talk some movies this weekend.
Movies.
What would you like to start with this week?
Let's start with Abuela, also known as Grandma in English.
That was very nice.
Ooh,
that was impressive.
Multicultural podcast.
I like it.
Wow.
I like it. Okay. Lots of fun, exciting, older people that many people have seen through the years. Grandma starring Lily Tomlin, Sam Elliott, Marcia Gay Harden, rated R.
Oh, John Cho was in it. Sweet.
Yeah.
I guess he had a small part, just a cameo.
Yeah, just little. Yeah.
That's too bad. I like John Cho.
Yeah, he was in there a little bit, but no, most of the film's about Lily Tomlin and her losing her love of 38 years and trying to come to terms with a new relationship she's in with Judy Greer. Many of you may remember her. So yeah, she's
Judy
got a
Greer's
younger
on,
woman in her life.
Yeah,
and
Judy Greer's one of the voices on Archer.
Exactly.
One of the best cartoons out there, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Side note.
So, yay. So, yeah. So she's in a relationship with her and, you know, it's... She's trying to come to grips with maybe that isn't working out either when her granddaughter comes to visit to inform her that she maybe is going to have an abortion and she needs a little funding for that little event in her life.
So it's a progressive movie.
There you go. There you go. Very progressive. And so Lily's going to take her to some friends who maybe have owed her money over the years and hopefully because, you know, Lily's not rolling in the cash either, that she can help her out, and they're trying to avoid going to her judgmental mother, Marcia Gay Harden, for the funding. So, yeah. Little progressive storyline there.
So do they open up a lemonade stand to help pay for this abortion? Or
No, but they do visit her ex-husband, Sam Elliott.
With his deep, sexy voice.
Yes.
Oh, Sam.
He's still
Sam,
got his deep, Sam. Sexy voice. Reminds me of you.
That's the thing about it, is that because he exists, though, mine does not. And so when, unfortunately, he passes is when I can shine. So
is that
just
it?
Just waiting it out.
Don't wish demise on
I'm
Sam
not wishing
Elliott,
his demise. It's just one of those things. The leadership is in power, and you got to let it ride out. I'll rise up eventually.
Okay. All right. Well, and actually, Paul Wise, who actually did the original American Pie, wrote and directed this film, too.
That's cool.
So I was expecting something really stellar. All these actors, Paul Wise.
You say that in a very interesting way, that it was not stellar?
I really was sadly felt it was not stellar.
But it looks so cute. I mean, I like Lily Tomlin. I thought she was a great little quirky sort of grandma. Of course, unconventional grandma, which is my favorite part because it shines a light on those kinds of possibilities.
Right.
But it doesn't come up to your expectations.
I was going to say, I really, you know, if you go to the website, check out matineechat.com. In the review, I really share with everyone, I think Paul had this great group of seasoned actors together, and he didn't push any of them because none of them really rose above what we've already seen from them before. Even Lily's just Lily. So, you know, it's nothing that we haven't seen Tomlin doing before. So, bottom line is, I pretty well gave it a rating of, yeah, we can wait and check this one out on Netflix or your favorite pay-per-view.
I still don't know what that is. Who pays for things?
Well, I was trying, you know.
Netflix. All right. Netflix, well, that's too bad, though. Know. I mean, Tom playing Tom was kind of expected, just like Jack Nicholson will always be Jack Nicholson. Very rarely these days does he ever do anything besides be Jack Nicholson.
Right. I mean, and she was enjoyable. I mean, I'm not saying it wasn't enjoyable. I just don't know that you want to fork over a lot of cash to see it at the movie theater.
Was it entertaining? I can understand it not breaking through artistic prowess of these great actors. I can understand that.
Right.
But were they at least entertaining?
Yeah, they were semi-entertaining, okay. But not...
Not enough to pay $12 for a ticket.
There you go. That's
that is the key factor. You got to get your money's worth. And I'll agree with that. I'll agree with that sense. Well, that's too bad. I was kind of hoping it would be.
Yeah, I was hoping for a lot more too, but.
But I guess it's a walk in the woods. It was the same situation too, though.
Exactly.
All right. Well, don't rush out to the theaters. Save your gas and try to stream it if you can, using your best available and legal service. By the way, we don't promote piracy.
There you
piracy,
go. That's right. That's right.
Nothing.
Only legal services. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. Well, that was Grandma, and you can catch a full review up on the blog right now, matineechat.com. And now it's time for one of the lovely portions, the game time. This is Name That Movie Tune, because any other form would be illegal.
Exactly. Movie Tune.
This clip is a little longer than usual. It's from a Disney movie. I'll go ahead and express that little hint in there. I included it from the clip from the movie so that there's some sound bites in there from the movie to help out.
Perfect.
If you can't get anything after that, I'm sorry. You didn't have a child in the 90s, but this was a very big to us. And so here it is. Yeah.
He really wants to start singing now.
I really do. And that was it. Definitely one of my favorite movies as a kid. I don't want to give too much away because it really had a huge impact on my life, being with a single mother. There was a lot of fatherly figures in this movie that made me actually go, oh, so I can act like an appropriate child and be a decent citizen, so on and so
forth.
Well,
I'm glad to hear it helped you out.
It was a big movie in my life. So if you know the answer to what song that was and which movie it was, you can let us know on this very podcast page right down there at the bottom for your chance to win tickets to go over to St. Charles?
Yeah.
The Chuck.
St. Charles. Dinner
and
a movie.
Food and entertainment. So if you'd like to go, just go answer that question. Number two movie we're talking about. Man, I don't even know what to say, to be honest.
He was about to say, we had so much fun together watching this film and the ambiance of the theater. Yes.
We watched it. We did have a lot of fun watching it, but it seemed like the entire audience had a lot of fun watching it because it was almost too bizarre to be real. Obviously, since it was a movie, it was not real. But I don't know. It's okay. M. Night Shyamalan.
Yes, M. Night Shyamalan.
All right, and
yes,
and it's called The Visit, in which young children.
We're only rated PG-13.
Which was the first sign that it was not going to be as good as we wanted to.
There you go.
So the mother, who I love,
Catherine
from
Hahn.
We Are the Millers,
yes.
Sends her kids over after. She hasn't talked to her parents in such a long time. They had a
they're
falling
estranged.
Out.
They're estranged.
Strange. In this time of Facebook, somehow they're estranged and can't contact each other. So,
but the kids want to see them.
So she sends the kids up there. And as you can imagine, things get a little weird. Things get a little crazy at the end. I can't get into the climax because there's always a twist because it's
M. Night Shyamalan.
But all right, so first things first, there's never any good way to present or actually joke about mental illness whatsoever.
No, we don't really want to joke about that.
We don't want to joke about it.
No.
And so I'm not that I had jokes lined up for it at all, but mental illness is a part of the movie.
Right.
And, and therefore,
it's a significant part of the movie. Not too much of a spoiler, but. Yes.
So I'm trying to, no jokes should be made about it, but that's the case. You know, it's not like in the case of Aliens where there was signs where there was actually aliens.
Right.
I actually never saw Lady in the Water. I heard it was
you didn't?
Terrible.
Oh, The Sixth Sense was still
bad.
My favorite.
That was good. Okay, that one did get me. So I don't know. It's interesting to try and put someone's grandmother who they've never seen into a negative light because they kept trying to give her the benefit of the doubt as they should, as any child should mean an elderly parent.
Right.
I don't know. It just seems so bizarre, man.
The premise of also the film is the kids are videotaping. You know, they're making this video of their
Maybe I should have said that.
So yeah, they it's actually kind of making video of grandma and grandpa and all the weirdness that's happening around them. So
yeah, it gets very Blair Witchy. A lot of camera movements, a lot of shifting and stuff like that.
I was feeling a Hansel and Gretel moment or two, too.
I had to see that
one. Oven.
Yeah. Oh, that one? Oh, yeah. Good call. Good call. I guess I didn't think about that. I forgot about those fairy tales, I guess, the best way to put it. So overall, look, I wouldn't recommend that you step out of the house for this. I would recommend, I'm not even sure I would say stream it. I mean, if you're looking for a mild laugh at someone else's expense that really shouldn't be laughed about, then I guess you can go. Because, I mean, all jokes aside, they did present her psychosis in a way that was humorous. And maybe even though it wasn't intended that way, the audience took it that way, at least the audience that we were around.
Right, right.
Because it just wasn't scary. You know, it wasn't providing the scare factor as much as it was just like, what the hell is going on here?
Exactly, exactly. I mean, it had a creep factor in
and
out.
Yeah, it was definitely creepy. You know,
but
had
it wasn't
moments.
Scary at all. I mean, even the parts where I was waiting to... Nope.
No. Didn't happen. I think I think at one point the actual kid popped out of like behind her in a door. It's the only time I actually jumped like, oh, that was nothing. I'm a big wuss. So see, I wouldn't rush out of the house to go see this. Kathy, would you agree on that?
I would agree on that, actually, if you go to matinee.com.
And forget the review. I'm sure it's
review.
Out there.
I said I would definitely wait to at least pick it up on DVD. So
by the time this comes out, DVD will not even exist anymore.
I know, you keep telling me that. So, okay, we're going to stream it.
Or you can buy it on bootleg. Then, case DVD
still
exists.
No, we're not buying it on bootleg.
Sorry. Sorry. Okay, don't do that.
don't do that.
But that's the only way you're going to
do
DVDs.
No one do that.
Just so clear.
Okay.
That's the only way DVDs are going to happen nowadays.
Okay, he keeps telling me that, but okay.
I'm like Nostradamus over here to watch yourself.
Okay, hey.
All right, so The Visit, we don't recommend it. We don't recommend that you go see
Sorry,
it.
Sorry,
I'm
not.
But we do
but
love our local movie theaters, so support
we
our
do.
Local movie theaters.
Please,
just don't go
please.
See The Visit.
I was going to say, there's still a couple good ones out there. Go
exactly.
See,
we haven't seen any
of
the
Straight
other ones.
Out of Compton. Yeah.
That's still a pretty good movie. It's still out there. Full review, of course, up on the blog right now, matineechat.com. And now it's time for the second game of the podcast.
He loves this one.
On this game, it's called Say What? I really got to record that because I'm not going to get that good
that
every time.
That was a good one.
I know
that
it was a good
really
one, but
one.
I can't replicate that every time. I didn't drink a lot last night, and therefore my throat is
so
lubricated and
there
I'm
you
okay.
Go.
See, but that's not
His
always
His throat
be the
is
case.
Lubricated. I got it.
You know,
it's
not
it.
Always going to be the case, so I should really just record that once and play it as like a clip or something. Anyways, whatever.
Anyway.
Say What. This is a quote from a movie. Not
he
a Disney movie,
again.
But another movie from my childhood that I'm very fond of. It's a little aggressive at parts, so if you are a conservative ear person, I would suggest you turn away from this very expletive.
Otherwise, keep listening. You're going to love it.
Yeah, you're going to like it. Here it is.
You eat dog crap for breakfast, geek. You mix your weeds with your mama's toe jam.
Yeah!
You bob for apples in the toilet, and you like it. You play ball like a girl!
And silence falls, everyone. What a great movie that was. If you know the answer to what movie that quote was in, go ahead and stop by right below this on the same podcast page.
Go to the reply.
For your chance to win some tickets over on the Illinois side to the fabulous and historic Lincoln Theater.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, gosh, I love that movie, and I'm already in another mindset thinking about that. interestingly enough, here in the past couple of weeks, you got a chance to talk to a certain actor who will be featured in a movie next week called Captive.
Exactly, exactly. David Oyelowo.
Tell us about
was
that.
Was in town in St. Louis. We got to do a round table, me and quite a few of the movie critics here in town, talking to David about the movie Captive. Like Anthony said, we'll be out next week and, you know, what he thought.
So we have a clip of why he took this role in Captive?
Absolutely.
Okay, here it is.
I was more drawn to the story than the role itself. And the reason I say that is, you know, as you probably know, Brian Nichols murdered four people that morning and ended up taking Ashley Smith hostage. And, you know, that on paper is not a role I gravitate towards in a hurry. But the story in its totality, you know, when you think about the fact that Ashley Smith was a meth addict and she was someone who had lost custody of her daughter, These were two broken people who were holed up together in this apartment for 7 hours. And there was, whenever you looked at the story, there was this blank spot, those 7 hours. What happened? You know, you only had her word for what had happened. Really, you didn't hear much from Brian Nichols as to what had happened. You know, he was facing trial now for murder and is serving multiple life sentences. And so a situation whereby someone who had killed four people in the morning then not only lets this woman go, but gives himself up, and she attributes part of her salvation to him, is something that generates intrigue in me. So I was very interested in what happened in those 7 hours. That's what drew me to the piece, more than what Brian Nichols did. It's how that plus her plus 7 hours equaled what went on to happen beyond this event.
And then we had a chance to talk with him more about, you know, his role and how it's so much different than Martin Luther King. And, you know, he talked in depth about not being typecast and how he
important.
Chooses his roles.
Yeah, I thought it was a very good clip. Play that too.
Well,
yeah.
Luckily, a few of us got to see the movie on Tuesday, right. So we have experienced you out there
right.
being Mr. Nichols, and
right.
it was absolutely incredible.
Oh,
I mean,
you.
You know, and going from Martin Luther King to this role.
Right.
Who was Martin Luther King? It was that memorable and that, you know, astounding to watch you play out. Someone that we've never seen you play before. Not that,
right.
you know,
but
that type of character. You're not going to be typecast at all.
No. Well,
with
that,
your choices.
That's
so
That's the reason to do it. You know, mm-hmm. there's a very real risk in playing someone like Dr. King to get typecast. Thankfully, people love that film and have been very nice about my performance in it. But, you know, an unwanted byproduct of it would be to be purely associated with that for the rest of my career and to not have audiences be prepared to go on a different journey with me. So in many ways, playing Brian Nichols, who's antithetical to Dr. King, even a film I did called Nightingale for HBO, similarly, a very, very different kind of character. That's, you know, that's not purely why I did those films, but, you know, it's definitely something I aspire to doing.
And then if you listen a little bit more into the podcast, we talk about the book that actually Kate Marr read to him in the film, because we got to see a sneak peek of it, called The Purpose-Driven Life. And he talks a little bit more about the purpose, you know, that Brian Nichols, the person in the movie he is portraying, got from her reading to him, you know, making pancakes. He just killed four people, but we're reading books and eating pancakes and, you know, getting a little bit more purpose in our life.
Okay, well, that sounds like a lot of purpose. And we'll just go ahead and play the clip and let David explain it, because I don't know what just happened with pancakes and everything.
But I think that maybe Tom was thinking maybe you were trying to give him some sympathy in the process of, very moving moment for me in the film, the phone call you made.
Mm-hmm.
The message that you left for your son, who has never seen you and never been a part of your life, but you playing Brian saw a purpose in making that phone call. Whether it all ended or not, we don't know, you know, till you play it all out, but that was very touching as well.
Yeah, and that's real. You know, he has been in jail for nearly 10 years now and hasn't seen his son. He hasn't seen his son for the last 2 years. He's been in solitary confinement for 23 hours a day. The one hour a day he's allowed to be out in the open, he doesn't take, because he would be shackled and have five SWAT guys with him, and he feels like an encaged animal. So he's serving the punishment for his crime. It doesn't mean that he wasn't and isn't a human being. And look, I struggle with it. If you know, if Cynthia Hall or Judge Barnes or any of those people he killed on that day were my family member, it's hard to see him as a human being. But that's what's sort of discombobulating about stories like this, is that a human being did do that.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to wrestle with that reality. That's also why I was drawn to the story, is that it's not nice and neat. It doesn't leave you with a nice tied up bow at the end, that everything's great in life, because that's why it's a true life story.
Now, if you want to hear the entire, you know, interview that we did with, like I said, a few of my fellow movie critics here in St. Louis, you can also get the entire interview at matineechat.com. You can also check us out on Twitter at matineechat. And of course, Anthony hasn't let me take any pictures of him yet, so we're not up on Snapchat, but he better get with the program. It's number 10, man. Come on.
Fine. We'll go on Snapchat. You just want to do Snapcash. I don't want to snap you into cash, Kathy, okay? It's unnecessary.
Okay. All right.
Next, we're
all
pretty excited. We have Captive. I brought up just a second ago with David Aiello. Black Mass, which I'm looking forward to, not only because it's Johnny Depp, sexy, fine butt, but it's also about Whitey Bulger, who I thought was an interesting character. Everest, it looks pretty good. And then there's Pawn of Sacrifice.
Yes.
With Tobey Maguire.
Tobey Maguire.
Toby.
And that's a real story, too.
Yes, that is a real true story.
I love those true stories about chess. And, you know, just in case people didn't know, St. Louis, chess capital of the world, buddy.
Yes, I'm well aware of that.
There you go. So
very, very little fun fact about our city. So that's next week. Pretty excited about that. Bring you in volume 11.
Exactly.
This one goes to 11. Ooh, Spinal Tap joke. Yes. All right, cool. We'll see you guys next
week.
He's
lining them up.
Have an awesome rest of your day.
All right. Have a great weekend. Take care.